Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Shall fill.
Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll.
He's the
lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
If you've been around the church as long as I have, that song is familiar. I remember growing up singing that song not only in the churches where my dad would hold revivals, but also in camp meetings. And speaking of camp meetings, it is upon us, because in the month of June, I'll have my first camp meeting. And let me just give you my schedule for the remainder of the month and part of the month of June. I am off over Memorial Day weekend, but then June the 1st, I'm going to be traveling to Cana, Virginia, to Epworth Wesleyan Church, June 1 to 4. And then starting June 7 to 14, I'll be in Douglas, Georgia at Gaskin Springs Camp. And then I'll travel back to North Carolina, and I'll be at Joyce Presbyterian Church. That's June 20, 21, and 22. And our friends that listen to us on WPET, I hope that you'll make note of that and join us at Joyce Presbyterian Church there in Stoneville, North Carolina. And then I'm going to travel June 29 to West Chazy Camp Meeting in West Chazy, New York. So going to be very busy over the month of June, and especially in the end of July for camp meetings. So I do cover your prayers as I travel in these revival and camp meetings. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our listening audience and for the folks who take time to pray for us. I'm so grateful for praying people, because that's what enables us to do what we do. And we thank you for those who are faithful not only to pray but also to stand by financially. I pray that you would bless them as well. And I also pray that you would raise up new supporters. We have lost most all of those who supported the program while Dad was still alive. And we're having to solicit new supporters in these days. And I pray that you'd lay it upon someone's heart to support the radio program that maybe hasn't done it before now. I pray that you'd be with us as we share the message from my dad. People always enjoy hearing that, Father. And he still blesses our hearts and challenges us in our walk with you, Jesus. So we give you this program and we ask your blessing upon it. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget to write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lomanministries.org. You can give through the Venmo or the PayPal tabs there. May God bless you as you listen to The Lights of Spiritual Guidance today.
Passages of scripture that I want to use tonight, two found in the New Testament, Revelation the 20th chapter, beginning with verse 11, and then in the 14th chapter of the Roman epistle, and then in the 31st chapter of the book of Job. I read first from Revelation 20. Beginning with verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Verse 11 of Romans 14, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself unto God. And in the 14th verse of the 31st chapter of the book of Job, the words of the text, what shall I do then when God riseth up, and when he visiteth, what shall I answer him? What shall I do then when God riseth up, and when he visiteth, what shall I answer him? The questions that were propounded in the book of Job reveal an uncanny knowledge, utterly beyond the age in which they were asked. The writer here says that God plied Job with some serious questions, questions that the average individual that reads the Bible today would pass by and not give too much consideration to. But when Job came face to face with the sobering reality of these questions, he drew back just a bit and realized that the truth revealed in these questions were certainly worth consideration. God one day said to Job, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? Canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say to thee, here we are? Questions that on the surface would have no apparent attraction to most of us. But when Job gave consideration to the seriousness of questions propounded by the great God of the skies, it made him realize as never before that one day he would have to stand in the presence of this omnipotent God and give an account of how he had lived here on this earth. And so he says, what am I going to do when God riseth up? And when he visiteth, what shall I answer him? This particular text tonight is based upon the proposition of the attribute of his omnipotence. You can't prevent God from rising up. He is the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient I am of the skies. He is the one that hath his way in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He took hold of the golden bits of the sun, and he hushed the song of the spheres. He swept his creative hand over trackless ether, and worlds were born, and suns kindle light on the stretches of boundless space. He scooped out the valleys and upreared the mountains, built prison walls for the ocean waves, and said, thus far shall thou come, and no further. He planted his feet upon the chaos of a wrecked world and brought order and life to a careening planet. He struck the womb of universal night with his male fist, and 10 billion stars gleamed on the stretches of boundless space. He carpeted this earth with verdant green, laced it with running brooks and with flowing rivers. He painted the late afternoon sunset with all the golden hues of heaven's beauty, and set the evening star to stand like a lone sentinel on guard duty. Picked up a handful of dust, made man in the likeness of his image, breathed into man the breath of life. Man became a living soul. You see, this God that I speak of tonight, that one day that's going to rise up and call men to judgment, is the omnipotent God of the skies. And this truth needs to penetrate the hearts and minds of every individual in this congregation tonight, because the book teaches us in Acts 17:31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. If you are to prevent the judgment, then you'll have to cancel the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The passages of Scripture that I read in your hearing tonight give to us an inevitable fact that one cannot deny. The book is true in what it has to say relative to judgment. So then every one of us shall give account of himself unto God. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is a proposition based not only upon the attribute of his omnipotence, but it is a proposition based upon the attribute of his omnipresence. You not only will not be able to prevent him from rising up, but when he rises to call men to judgment, they'll not be able to escape him. If it were possible tonight for me to throw a saddle upon a fleet-footed beam of light and rush through a limitable space at the rate of 186,000 miles a second and run for 1,000,000 years, I'd never be able to escape the great God of the skies. If I could borrow the fiery steeds of lightning and hide away to those eternal stretches, I'd never be able to get away from God. Though I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost bounds of the universe, the writer says, lo, thou art there. David said, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Paul said, it's in him that we live, and that we move, and that we have our being. Though I scale the everlasting mountains of immortality, and though I dig my way into the bowels of hell, there is absolutely no escape from the high sheriff of eternity. He's going to find men and bring them to judgment. The prophet Amos declared, I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the post may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with a sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up into heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out of thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, I will bring them forth. No, beloved, you'll not be able to escape this great God that sits on the throne tonight. Many people can evade the preacher. They can run from revival. They can stay away from the services that take place under this tabernacle. They can close the door in the face of God, trample his blood under their feet, and absolutely ignore the wooings of the Holy Spirit and say, I do not have to go that way. And yet one day this preacher wants to remind you that God is going to call you into his presence. And the question is, what am I going to do when God riseth up? If I had you in Rockingham County, North Carolina tonight, I could take you to a tourist attraction in our state that is a tremendous plantation and has attracted thousands of tourists across the years that's passed and gone. A man that owned that piece of property had no time for God. He had no time for the church and spiritual things. And in spite of that, he was allowed far more than his 80 years. He amassed a fortune, but beloved, bragged time and time again that he did not believe in the idea of an omnipotent God. But after amassing a fortune, after achieving material benefits in this life, one day he came down with a terminal illness, and his doctors had informed him of his condition and his family, and the doctor was very frank to tell him, if you have any final preparations to make in this life before you come to the end, you should set them in motion. He called in his family, called his lawyer, and they sat around the bedside in that tremendous bedroom. That man said to, he told his lawyer and the members of his family, how he wanted things dispersed when the end came and the will was drawn in its final arrangement. And after that man had told them how he wanted his property dispersed and how he wanted his massive fortune divided, he shocked the members of his family and his lawyer when he said, now, each of you know that I've never believed in God, and I've never believed that there was a hereafter. And he said, after I've drawn my last breath, I want you to have my body cremated. I want you to hire an airline's pilot. Let him take my ashes out over a span of 50 miles over the Atlantic Ocean and sprinkle my ashes out there over the briny deep, so that if there happens to be a God, he would never be able to find any part of me and bring me to judgment to have to face the way that I've lived here on this earth. Ladies and gentlemen, that man had ability. He had intelligence enough to amass a fortune, but he didn't have intelligence enough to realize that the God that threw into existence this world and took the dust of the earth and made man in the likeness of his image would have no difficulty in finding him to bring him back to judgment and to face the record that he had made here on this earth. You know, we're living in a day, beloved, when some people shrug their shoulders. They play fast and loose with the things of this life. They seem to be a little sarcastic at the old-fashioned preacher that'll dare stand in the gap and put the plow in deep and preach the truth in all of its fullness. Some of you, no doubt, in this congregation tonight, I may be talking to some young ladies and some young men that have never taken it seriously. You may think that we're off the deep end and we've kind of gone overboard when we put up a warning sign and send forth a warning signal. And I've had people to say to me, Mr. Lohman, why in this modernistic era do you still contend for that old-fashioned faith? And why do you still preach like you've always preached across these years? I can answer that, beloved, with the word of God that says that if the watchman see the sword come and he warn not the people and they die in their sins, then their blood I will require at the watchman's hands. But if the watchman see the sword come and he warn the people and they die in their sins, then their blood I will not require at the watchman's hands. Many of you, I'll never know your name. I'll never know from the town that you came from. I'll never know anything about your circumstances, but there's one thing certain and sure. I want you, don't forget it, that when Sunday night comes and I've preached my last message at Camp Syker 1975 in this encampment. I don't intend to stand out there in the eternities and have someone that attended this meeting point their finger at me and say, Mr. Woman, you failed me down there. You had a chance to warn me and you didn't do it, and now I'm lost forever. Listen, friend, it's a proposition that we need to consider. No, you'll not be able to prevent God from rising up, and when he rises up, you will not be able to escape him. But it is a proposition based upon the attribute of his omniscience. When he rises up, you will not be able to deceive him. This book teaches us, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Dr. Nicholson mentioned a passage of scripture in his message this afternoon, that he hath no need that any man teach him what is in man. Listen, kind lady, dear man, tonight, he knows all about you. He knows the secret chambers of your heart. He knows the places you go. He knows the company you keep. He knows the conditions that prevail in the inner areas of your life tonight. Those things that bring condemnation, those things that you fear, and my friends, mark it well. You'll not be able to deceive him. Deceive the preacher, yes. Deceive your companion, yes. Deceive your parents, yes. Deceive your neighbors, yes. But my friends, one of these days, your sins are going to show up. Your life is going to be exposed, and in the blaze of divine incandescence, your heart is going to reveal the way that you've lived. In the white lights of ineffable purity, your sins are going to show up in that day.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.